My scripture reading is in Exodus this morning. So let's turn to Exodus 19. And I'm going to have part of it that I'd like for you to help me read. It'll be when we get into the chapter 20. But scripture reading starting in Exodus 19 and verse 16. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now, skipping down to verse 20. Then God spoke all these words, saying. Now, if you would, join me in that second verse of Exodus 20. And let's read on down to the end. I think it's verse 18. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in it, them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that we read of the day that you came to the mountain with Moses and you spoke your Ten Commandments of guidance for mankind. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to die for us, enough, Lord, to give us commandments to guide us. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless his words and thoughts that we express and help them to help us all as you will. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. And amen. My text is the verse 20 of chapter 20. And let's start with that. So Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of Him may remain with you so that you may not sin." So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'You yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven.'" Aren't these words wonderful? They are recordings that God came down to this earth at this particular moment in time, and that He spoke His words, His laws to His children. My message to you is entitled "Great Expectations." Perhaps you remember that there was a novel written by Charles Dickens entitled "Great Expectations." And it was about a young man, a young village boy, growing up, and about his ambitions and his expectations for himself. His name was Pip. And this novel tells us of the experiences in life that came to him, of his successes and its adversities, of its high hopes and its failures. Great expectations. But our great expectations is that of a loving Father who brought us into this world, who created all of this world as we know it, and of His love for us, and of His great expectations for each one of us. God has made known to mankind His expectations of us. And very clearly, He teaches of the covenant relationship with Him. God's people, and we are God's people, and Israel is God's chosen nation. God's people, at this particular point in time, had been held in slavery for quite some time. They had been in Egypt for 430 years. And so they had come to not know what it was like to make decisions for themselves, being in slavery. And so God seen that it was time for them to be delivered. He heard their cries for help and for deliverance. And so God delivered them. And God gave His law in these scriptures. It's recorded. And it's recorded here that He spoke His law to them at Mount Sinai in this particular recording. He gave His law to teach them and us what is expected of us and how we are to live with Him and with each other. And we want to examine this morning of the great expectations that God has for us and see how God is going to accomplish this. And the first way is that God teaches us and His children of all the world. He teaches us with a covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant can be thought of as a promise. This particular covenant is a promise between God's children and God. A covenant can also be thought of as an agreement or a contract. In the Old Testament, there were two kinds of covenants. There were covenants between parties that were equal in strength, and then there was covenants between parties that was unequal in strength. And of course, this is that kind of covenant. God is much stronger. The Creator is much stronger than that which He created. So let's go to Exodus 19 and start at verse 4 and see what is said of this covenant between us and the children of Israel, all of God's children, and God. Exodus 19 and 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Now listen carefully. This is a covenant between us and God, between all of God's people and Him. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God wants His children to be for Him that contact with the rest of the world as priest and as holy, that is, set apart. If you're holy, there's something different about you. God has made you holy, and He has set you apart for His purpose. In essence, it's saying, God is saying that I will be your God and you will be my people. This is what God is saying to all of us. God's laws, His royal laws, His Ten Commandments is not just a collection of His ideas, but it is promises to live by the laws that He made known, agreed on between God and His children. And you know one thing about God's covenant with man? One thing you can always know and count on is that God keeps His promise. His side of the issue is always going to be held clear and steadfast. He keeps His word. And what is His part of the bargain, of the covenant with man? Well, just what you would think. God delivers His people out of all their problems, out of all the things in life, afflictions, persecutions, diseases. God delivers, just as He delivered the children of Israel from natural slavery that they were in, that they got caught up in, just as He delivered them, He delivers us from whatever comes our way that life presents it to us. He protects He provides and He blesses. You remember I've stated many times how great a nation Israel would be if they had but obeyed God and maintained steadfastness in Him and in their belief in Him and in their obedience to Him. They would have been much beyond what the United States is today to the rest of the world if the nation of Israel had but stayed steadfast in what God intended for them. God does protect. That's part of His covenant. He's going to protect. He's going to deliver. He's going to provide. He's going to bless above our imaginations. And we're not talking about in the future only. We're talking about here and now. He has the blessings for us. He had it for the nation of Israel. Successes in their crops. Rain when they needed it. No rain when they didn't. All that come as successes, God had it for His children, and He has it for us today. God teaches us through His covenants, His promises with us. And one of the greatest promises is that He will bless and provide and protect and keep. And He wants us to be people that will let the rest of the world know of Him through us. That's part of our service and part of our covenant to Him. And we need to know that just as God is faithful and true and always keeps His promises and His covenants, we need to be just that steadfast and that just exactly that committed to Him. God teaches with covenants, and we also read that God teaches with His commandments. And we need to know these commandments that we read are not just any kind of wording or laws, but they are from God. These are God's commandments. There are 10 of them. They're referred to as the royal law of God. The Hebrews call these 10 commandments, they refer to them as the 10 words. There's two relationships described within these 10 words, and they are the relationship between God and an individual. And then there's the relationship that His laws let us know about between people, between each other. They tell us of how God wants us to act toward both Him and toward each other. They are God's principles. They were intended to God. They were intended to keep order. And was intended to obey His rules and principles. And this was the purpose. This is our part of the covenant, to obey. The commandments, from those commandments, we know that as we try to live in them, and go each day of our life living by them, that we develop attitudes and actions in regard to them. You know, when you look at God's royal law, His 10 commandments, they are worded in the negative, in that several of them say, "Thou shalt not commit murder, steal, commit adultery, worded in the negative, but they are liberating. Because what is not forbidden is obviously allowed. The how to do is not just specifically detail. God wants us to depend on Him for leading and guidance. God wants us to seek His Holy Spirit to be within us, to show us how, to lead us. His commandments are inclusive. That is, they tell us of God. They tell us of ourselves in both relationship to God and in relationship with other people. Let's look at each one of them. The first one tells us how God is known. There is but one true living God. And we are to recognize Him and obey Him. And His Word lets us know there is no other God besides Him. Secondly, lets us know how God is worshipped. God is worshipped in spirit and in truth. He's not worshipped in material or physical representations of Himself. In other words, an idol cannot be made by man and turned into some kind of a being or object to be worshipped. How God is confessed. Number three, belief in God is confessed with sincerity, not superficially or in vain. And the next one tells us when God is to be remembered. And of course, we know that God is to be remembered each and every moment of our life. But you know, God Himself worked 6 days and then He rested the seventh. And He said, remember this day to keep it holy. God Himself set aside the one day in seven for you to remember. Remember what? Remember who made you. Where you came from. Remember who made all that we see and know. This is a special day of each and every week. He decided you needed to do this every seventh day. Every Sabbath day. God set aside, sanctified the wording, and made holy, set apart for remembering Him and remembering His creative works and how everything came into existence. Obviously, He wants us to constantly, consistently remember this. And He said remember, so He don't want us to forget it. And He said to do it every seventh day, which is pretty often, as a day specially to review over in your mind and focus on the loving God that brought all of this into existence and of the plans that He has for you. And His plans for you and us are magnificent in beauty and in form. And they never end. They go on forever and ever, never ending. And for you and your belief in Jesus Christ, His Son, and that God sent His only begotten Son to die for you, to pay the penalty. This is how you are made worthy in belief in Him of having eternal life. And as Jesus Christ said Himself in His own words, you shall never die. Do you believe this? It's so hard for people to understand We all know that we live in these physical flesh and blood bodies, and that one day if Jesus Christ doesn't come back to this earth before, then we know that we are going to go the same way as all other people that come before. But yet Jesus said, if you believe in me, you shall never die. That's why I've got to look on it as a sleep. I've got to look on it that we don't die. We just go on to what lies beyond. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Number 5 of God's laws tells us how parents are to be treated. Parents should be respected and reverenced all the days of their life. God's law lets us know that. 6, how human life is regarded. The sanctity of human life is remembered and expressed and kept. How human personality is respected. No person is to be treated as an it or an object. The sanctity of human personality as well as human life is shown. Also, the solidarity of family life is maintained. Number 8, how personal possessions are considered. Things that belong to other people are to be respected. And you know, in some of the magnifications of the law, it's let known that other people's things are to be, not only be respected by us, but we are to help other people with their belongings and the material goods if that situation comes about. Go out of our way to help our neighbor with what is important to him and what he has accumulated as belonging to him. Our material things are to be used to help others. Number 9, how the spoken word is valued. People should live in trust with one another, always speaking the truth. And not speaking what you do not know is the truth. Or that if it was spoken, you pretty well know that it could do harm to another person. Therefore, you hold your tongue. How the word, spoken word, is valued and how it could be distorted and harmful. And lastly, how attitudes are formed. No one should be covetous or envious of others. Those attitudes lead to actions that break the commandments of God. God teaches through his commandments as well as his covenants. And lastly, God teaches through commitment. Yes, God does want you to make up your mind about him. He does want you to be sincere about your life with him, about your response to him. He wants you to get off the fence. Know that he is your loving God, that he cares for you, that he wants what is good for you, that he sees much further than any of us can see of our lives and the things that will come to us in our life. He knows tomorrow. He knows what it holds. He is there to protect. He's there to deliver. He's there to bless. I know that all of us want to be blessed. All of us want His protection. All of us want His provisions. And He has it, and He promised it to each and every one of us. Our part of it is acknowledge Him. Know that what He says, He means. Know that He cares for you. Know that He wants you to respond to Him. Talk to Him. Just as you would your best friend. Just as you would your mom or dad. Let Him know what concerns you. Let Him know what you want. Let Him know what is important to you. Ask for His will to be done over all and in the end. But still let Him know what is on your heart and what is in your mind. And let Him know that you wish Him to grant your petitions to Him. And I believe He will. But He wants commitment. He wants to know that you have accepted Him as your Father, your spiritual Father. You've accepted Him. You believe in Him. You believe in His way. You believe in His laws. You intend to hold on to Him as long as your life goes. As long as you draw a breath. You have a made up mind to respond to Him, to obey Him, to keep Him close to you, to read His Word, to try to inquire of Him more truth, more inspiration than what you presently know. Be committed to God. Commitment is the basis for the covenant, for the agreement between you and Him. Let's go to Exodus 19 and 8. Exodus 19 and 8. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Commit to what you know God wants for you. Let Him know. All that you require, I'm going to do my best to do. And if I fail, then I know I have your Son Jesus Christ that shed the blood for me, that's going to keep me right with you regardless as I hold on to you. Let God know that. I'm going to hold on forever. And if I make a mistake or slip, I'm still going to hold on. And I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus Christ that you will forgive me of these things that I do, that I wish that I hadn't. Just like the Apostle Paul let us know that there was many things that he knew to do, but somehow he just didn't do them. And we're not talking about intentional. We're talking about things that he knew that he slipped on, that he wished that he hadn't and knew that he shouldn't. But in that case, we do have Jesus Christ to ask the Father God to forgive. And Jesus Christ, as our high priest at God the Father's right hand, He's the intermediator between us and the Father God. And what we present to Him, He will go to the Father in our behalf. And our forgiveness is assured. This covenant was agreed on by the people, as we read. It was ratified in chapter 24. And then the covenant renewal ceremony was recorded in chapter 34. We commit ourselves to God through Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I'm closing very quickly. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God, through Jesus Christ, will keep us right with Him. Reconciliation. Reconcile. To bring back again if we stray away. To make right again if we do a wrong. But we have to still remain always committed to God and go to Him for our trespasses, for our iniquities or sin. He will forgive. We commit to God by living by His principles. We commit to Him by making up our mind that He is ours and we are His. And we're going to stay steadfast to Him. Let's go to 1 John 5 and 2. 1 John 5 and 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. We've talked about that this morning. He wants us to love not only Him and each other, but He wants us to love His law, His principles for life. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That's in your New Testament part of your Bible. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. They're not too hard to do. God wouldn't make it that way. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. If you would, stand with me.